May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Any kind of rejection from somebody that matters to you, or any kind of abandonment in your life, can be a very terrible thing to go through. It's sort of like spiritual rape, and it's very emotionally difficult. I've watched it happen over the years with all of us, in my life and the lives of other people. And what the enemy can do is paralyze you with it, because he can make you become cynical and untrusting. And trusting is the most daring, risk-taking thing that you'll ever do. You may not want to skydive or go skiing, but if you can walk in love that trusts and maintains its innocence that way, then you walk in great courage. Because love causes us to risk. The Lord risks every day in loving you and me. Just think of the risk he took in giving his all for us at the cross, knowing in anticipation. He was experiencing it while he was crucified. All of his disciples fled, except for one who fled originally and then came back. So he knew again and again and again throughout the centuries we'd flee from him, come back, flee, come back. So he risked everything, knowing that he was going to get rejected at times and abandoned by the people he's given himself to in love. What can happen is we become a place where we get cynical and we become frozen and get very introspective. Now, God can use all those things if you're open and honest before him to say, Lord, is there something you want to show me here? And let him do that. He's very faithful and loving to do that. That's an honest and broken heart before him. That's the kind of heart that God can find a resting place with. One that stands before him trembling at his word. Not just trembling with fear, but trembling in excitement. God, if there's something here going on that would hold me back in any way, show me. Because I want everything that you have for me. Here's an amazing scripture from Luke chapter 4. After Jesus had announced Isaiah 61 to the synagogue, this is at the beginning of his ministry, right after his baptism and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And in ministering, giving them the word, they were amazed at him, all the things that he said. It says in verse 22, and they were all speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Well, in the Mark passage, the Mark 6 passage, makes it really clear is that they were in wonder of what he was, and then the conversation began to change. Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we know him? And it says they became offended with him. And then Jesus said, and he began to say to them, and he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And he goes on and on. He says some things now that just clearly offends them really bad. As you read down this passage, it says, and all the synagogue, in verse 28, were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they rose up and cast him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. That's criticism, rejection, abandonment at some level. And these were people who knew his family. Those are the ones who were going, then isn't this Joseph's son? They knew him growing up, had known him or about him for years, knew his family again for years. And I think in the Mark passage, they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? So they even knew what his father had done and what he had been doing up to this time in his life. And it says, but passing through their midst, he went his way. Now, I've read that passage many, many times, but that's a fascinating scripture. So let's just metaphor it a little bit. What happened to Jesus? What did the Holy Spirit tell him to do? Because I've always wondered, like, how did he do that? I mean, they wanted to throw him off the cliff, and the language is he just turned around, walked through the middle of them, and nobody touched him. And here's something that's very important to learn. When you find yourself in situations like that, and you will at some level, and you have, and maybe you're still holding on to resentment and the fear of it ever happening again, which will crucify your personality from going forward. You can't be yourself and walk in fear and insecurity. But Jesus has turned around, and in the midst of all the things being said and done, he just walked through the midst of it. He didn't stop and focus on it. He didn't pay attention to it. He didn't address it. He didn't get in fight with him about it. He just walked through it. And he says he walked through it, and he said he went his way. See, having come to a place where you're honest before the Lord, if there are some things he wants to show you and you deal with them, but if they still want to throw you off the cliff, all in the world you can do is, there are things that God has spoken to you about your own particular destiny and purpose, about your own particular calling. And none of those things are anything to ever apologize for or to ever be ashamed of. And in the midst of that, if it's stuff that's going on, the crowd wanting to throw you off the cliff, or the person, you just turn around and you walk through the midst of it and go the way he's called you to go. You see, the reality is, supernaturally, they didn't stop Jesus from fulfilling his destiny or purpose at all. But if he had stopped and focused on it and zeroed in on it, they very well may have reached out and thrown him over the cliff. He may have jumped off the cliff on his own because of the pain. And if you find yourself still in the midst of something where you've been abandoned and hurt and rejected, the Lord's saying to you, it's time to walk through it and to go on your way. Only you have the ability to stop going on the way that he's called you to go. Only you have that ability. If you have a repentant heart of anything God may have shown you, if you've hurt somebody and you've owned it, at some point, all you've got to do, all you can do is just go through the midst of this and go on your way to the things that God's put in your heart to be the destiny that you're called to fulfill, knowing that none of that stuff and no human being can stop you from going on your way, only you. One of the things it says, even though Peter had not done anything wrong to John, or John had done anything wrong to Peter, in John chapter 21, after Jesus sort of tells Peter what his future is going to be, basically you're going to get crucified upside down. People are going to take you where you don't want to go. And so Peter turns around and looks at John. He says, well, what about this man? And Jesus said, if I want this man to still be living when I return, what is that up to you? Follow me. Because one of the things we get hung up in is, like, we walk through the midst. Okay, well, Lord, what about them? What about this one who's thrown the stones, who's hurt and rejected and criticized and abandoned? The Lord said, that's not your business. That's between me and that person. You just follow me and go on the way that I've put in your heart. And every one of you here know that way. You know the things God said to you. You know the things that God's called you to be in your relationship with him and in any kind of spiritual vocation God has for you in terms of ministry. Every one of you know that. Just go through the midst of it and go on your way. Nobody can stop you. It's in the Lord's hands. It was supernatural that they didn't throw Jesus off the cliff. Your ministry, your life, your calling, your heart's desire to be a dwelling place, to love him with all your heart, is not in anybody else's hands. He supernaturally makes sure of that. But you got to go your way. You with me? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.